FanDuel. Combine your favorite baseball home run hitters for a chance to score an even bigger payout. If you don't want to build your own same game parlay, check out their popular same game parlay section where you can join the bets other users are jumping on. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code TAS to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Make every moment more and download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use promo code TAS so they know that we sent you. 21 up and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call TN Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Oh my God! Okay, it's happening!
It's the afternoon stretch with Zach Williams and Bruno Reagan.
Everybody stay calm! Sure. Stay calm!
Now here's Bruno and Zach.
Clock here in the Music City, so you know what time it is. Time for the afternoon stretch here on Nashville Sports Radio. So glad you are alongside us with us here on this Monday, May 23rd edition of the afternoon stretch. And hey, it's a big one because Bruno Reagan is officially back in studio. Welcome back to the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios, Bruno. I don't think your mic's on. There we go.
Hello, gentlemen.
Yes, there it is.
It wouldn't be the afternoon stretch without that.
And then also the video camera. Your camera went out for a second. So we're fully in it right now.
No, I'm just in the darkness. I didn't watch the Bane movie, so I can't even do the quote.
Oh, man.
You may not the darkness.
Oh, yeah, the Bane quote.
Am I still dark?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Now it's finally coming back up. Now. Hey, you know what? That's the way it goes, but we finally have Bruno Reagan back here in studio. It's been, I think we calculated it up, it's been like 10 weeks.
10 to 11, yeah.
10 to 11 weeks since you were actually officially here inside the studio, so that is a long, it doesn't feel like it's been that long, actually.
For me, it's felt like it's been 2 years. So
USFL,
was,
huh?
Yeah, it was a hyperbolic time chamber. I mean, I felt like I was stuck in an infinite time loop. It was hard.
Yeah. And the best part is you're just still wearing Vandy gear.
I mean, these are the only clothes I own. I don't know if I'll ever buy clothes.
Did you ever get Tampa Bay gear?
I mean, some.
Yeah.
Not much.
Well, darn. So if you want to join in or to ask Bruno any questions or anything like that, now we're back to a radio show. We're back to full strength. Just in time for baseball to be back in full swing.
No.
615-844-5600. We want to hear from you. I know Ray Dosky, he'll be on here in a bit. We're just getting everything set up. That camera is just... it's giving us fits right now, and eventually we'll get it back up so everybody can see. Actually, believe Bruno's here in studio. Like it's real. I promise.
Yeah, I look a lot better. I went from like a 7 out of 10 to like a 7.5 out of 10. So,
well, I said that as I walked in. I was like, you look smaller.
So we talked on the phone, and my dad was like, oh yeah, Bruno's lost all this weight, and then we talked, and I was like, no, I didn't. Do I look better, more athletic?
It could be because you're wearing an all black hoodie. that's a slimming effect. There's a real possibility of that, but I think you look leaner.
Probably.
I think
I would
you
hope
look
so. I've been outside just grinding like 3 hours a day. I'd hope so.
Yeah, I mean it just has to happen some way, right? Yeah. And you come in, I thought you'd be on crutches.
No. I was only on crutches for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then I was back to walking.
Yeah. But it's been a long time, so we're glad to be back at full strength here in the studio. Bruno obviously has got tons of stories and things like that. We're got
the tough part is,
we
do have plenty of time for it. But the tough part is these people are still actively employed. So it's trying to navigate the waters of not getting them fired.
Well, I mean, you're not gonna oust anybody.
I might. That's the issue. I mean, I just don't know how to be.
Well, you're still under contract with the USFL.
Yeah, just surprise, surprise. I'm still a Fox lackey, so, and I'll, you know. That's part of my role. So
yeah, yeah. Well, you know, and that's okay. That's
me,
that's
a Tom good Brady, thing. Employed by the same people. I mean, he's a
roughly
beloved colleague.
Pay.
He's a beloved colleague, and I hated to leave.
But. Oh my God, he's gonna make what was it? $17 million a game or something like that.
Fox is a going out of business like company. It feels like.
It kind of does.
Except for the one part I worked at.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's talk about it in the grand scheme of things, because, you know, we've obviously, you've been on here and there. It was kind of hit or miss for the most part. But, you know, in your, because I'm trying to think, obviously it was March, beginning of March was your last, like, run with this show.
Yeah.
Until you took off to train, and then eventually, like, later on that month, you went down to Birmingham. You know, what was that time to get to up until the injury, obviously, but, you know, what was it like basically? Just kind of like, did you feel the same flame that you did, you know, when it was Vandy, when it was Battlehawks?
No, each one was different though. I mean, the Battlehawks was kind of like my career's magnum opus in a way. And not saying the XFL was just better. I'm saying, you know, that just that time in my life, that's when I had nothing and I had a lot to prove. This was purely, and I told everybody that the second I got there, it's just so no one, like, I was there to have fun. That was my main goal, was to enjoy the game I love and try and have as much fun as possible. That was my thing. So it was an entirely different mindset. I was extremely interested because about the first week after I was there, like the first week of practice, I've never been valued anywhere I've been. Vanderbilt, I mean, they kicked me and spit on me, and then the last year they're like, hey, you're a team captain, please help save this program. And then at the XFL, I came in as a third string center and, you know, basically won my starting job like a week before the first game.
And we spit on you the second you joined the station.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the day one, just to give you, you know, just to really put you in your place.
I was never very valued in football, but after the first week of practice at Tampa, they were like, yeah, you're like the smartest player we've ever had. Please help us win this championship. And I was like, so it was interesting to see, you know, how was I going to react as an athlete to being valued? Because I know when, you know, people doubt me, especially people in their own programs, I react very well. It's, you know, I kind of enjoy being trashed on. Mm. Like, I have a great relationship with my former XFL coach, but back then we hated each other, you know.
Yeah,
but he
yeah.
was also the first guy to call me because that's just the way I am. I want to work through our issues. There, you know, it was, how am I going to react when people already think, you know, people are telling me, oh, you're our captain, you're our leader, you're, you know, we need you. And it was, you know, it's just business as usual. Football is like riding a bike to me. Some people it isn't, some people it is. I mean, like the game just comes so naturally to me at this point. I played extremely consistent. I played extremely well. I was overweight. I was out of shape, but I could still go out there and play four quarters pretty easily.
You were clearly the biggest guy in the line.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
Well, that was also because the guys beside me were really small.
Yeah.
They were like barely 300.
Of them. My wife, my beautiful wife, Maggie, doesn't know anything about sports. Doesn't care, frankly. Yeah. Was mad that I was even watching football. And she was like, I didn't know it was football season. I thought that was the best part. Whenever I watched your first game. And she was like, is Bruno that big one right there?
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, yeah, that's Bruno, babe.
That is me. Though the problem was I also got, like, my jerseys just did not fit me. So they have headsets, and they give it to the refs and, like, tell 61 to fix his uniform. And so the referees, every 5 minutes, would come up to me, and they're like, can you please fix your uniform? And I'd go.
Yeah.
Right in front. It was hilarious. No, I was out there. Like, it was just all so easy. The level of competition, frankly, wasn't very good. So it was all so easy. I was basically out there. I'm surprised I never got on any of the mic'd ups, because I was basically just out there. Like, I would be getting bull rushed. And I'm like, stop! Stop bull rushing us! You're only hurting us both, like, as the play is going on. I'm like, please, stop bull rushing me! that was that kind of stuff. I was just having fun with it. It was a good time.
I feel like they, and this is just me, I mean, I've said this off air, but I'll say it on air. I feel like they had such a missed opportunity with you, because they kept pumping up certain players. And
you're
know,
talking about Boogie from the Maulers.
Well, yeah,
he was like the last guy I talked to before I left. He was like, how's your knee doing? And I was like, I'm going home. And he was like, what? And he was like, why are you so calm about it? And back in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm going home. Why wouldn't I be? I've been in Birmingham for 10 weeks.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like they missed out so much on the fact that you – like, I'm obviously I'm biased because we do a show together. So yes. When I talk about your show, I'm talking about my show. But you have a show that, like, you have a personality already. You have a Twitter following. You have all this stuff that's already set up. And they never once mentioned it in the broadcast. Like, did you ever talk to anybody like Menifee or anybody who did the broadcast?
I talked to, is his name Klatt on the sideline? I talked to him.
Oh, maybe. I don't know the sideline people.
I don't know his name either. I've seen
but
his face.
But that proves that you probably haven't really talked to him all that much.
No, I mean, we were just talking about ball. It was never about, and that's personally how I like. I don't like doing all the other stuff. Like the guys that were on that, you would hate to hear, but it's just a different world. And I can, people are always like, you can't flip the switch. You can't just flip the switch. In football, I act different than here. My mind was not on radio or cloud chasing. While I was there, my responsibility was to my teammates and my coaches to be better.
Mm-hmm. You made that clear whenever you were leaving here.
Yeah, I did not care much about being on United of Football or anything. And to be honest, most of the guys that are on there suck. And part of the reason they do is because that's their focus. I mean, that chasing.
Star more, chasing I mean, a little they, bit, yeah.
You know, he got released. Like, you have to have your priorities right. And a lot. That's why people in that league are in that league. Like, everyone has some major deficiency that keeps them from the NFL. That's why we're all in that league together. There's probably like 5 players in the league that deserve to be in the NFL that are just, you know, timing was an issue. Jordan's one of them.
Te'Amu looks like an NFL quarterback. Yeah. There's a team that could use him at least in a serviceable backup role.
Yep.
Yeah, 100%.
And he's gotten a lot. I mean, it's amazing how smart he's gotten in the past 2 years. I haven't seen him. Like, it's actually crazy. I didn't know you someone, because by the time you're like 20, 21, if you can't pick up an offense, you'll never do it. But he has somehow taken that next step, so good for him. He should get another NFL opportunity. But most of the guys there, you know, I just didn't want to be bothered with it. Really, I knew why I was there, and I knew what I needed to do while I was there.
But see, that's you as the player, and that's where I'm saying I think Fox missed out the boat, where they should have, like. And I'm thinking of it less of the outside looking in, so I don't know the inner gears and components, how they turn together. But if I'm thinking about it from a marketing standpoint, clearly they wanted to save money.
No one was thinking about marketing there.
And
there was no marketing people.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. And I've told you, the operation of the USFL right now is anarchy because they're saving money. So there's no one knows what's going on half the time, which is kind of cool with me.
I don't blame them. No, I don't blame them to save money right now, because literally they're going to be the first spring league to fully go through on major networks and get through the season.
And have a year two.
Yeah.
They're going to have a year two.
Yeah. So, and you know, with the XFL coming back this next year and all this different stuff, that's huge in itself. But I really think they missed the boat with just not only just, you know, using you more in the mic'd up sense, but also just the, I don't know, just more of it. Because there was stuff you were doing, like, even though you're in the middle of it, because I know you closely and work with you, I see the Bruno still coming out. Like, game one, when you're pumping up the crowd and there's nobody out there. That was... I hear you go, come on, crowd, stand up. I mean, there's one guy.
Yeah, the USFL isn't going to put that up. That was anti-USFL celebration right there.
Oh, my gosh.
Get up!
That was... I was losing it. I was losing it, and it was because I understood what was going on. Because they weren't even showing the camera. They were just showing – you were just showing you, like – they didn't even put it up as a highlight. I think it was Te'Amu snuck it in or something.
I'm trying to think. What did happen? No, it was a rush. Was it a rush?
Yeah, it was a running touchdown. I know that. But, I see you go off camera, go, come on, crowd. And I know there's nobody back there, and I know there's not
a single person.
There's some producer. It's like, you keep that camera on the players. You know, like, they're like, don't you start turn around and follow that, because nothing would have been better if you just turn around, you just see you like, yeah, there's just one guy like, woo. You know?
Yeah, playing in an empty stadium was pretty weird half the time, too.
Yeah.
Every day felt like a scrimmage.
That had to have been more empty than like a high school stadium.
Yeah.
At times, you know.
Every game that wasn't Birmingham.
Yeah, Birmingham, they did pretty well, I thought.
Yeah, they did really good.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, and that's, you know, that's part of it. But, that was something I was wondering, too. What was that like to play in front of those guys?
What, Birmingham?
Well, no, just in front of, like, the emptiness of the stadium.
Oh, it didn't bother me. I played at Vanderbilt.
Oh,
didn't bother me.
I kind of teed that one up there.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Hey, Vanderbilt posted. The Vanderbilt football page posted the day before I left. Doors in the USFL, and I was like, I knew what was coming. I was like, not anymore. Vanderbilt's a funny place, man. It's a funny place.
Did they tag you on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Well, at least they did.
But
that.
I just see Jordan carrying around three boxes of like from Ole Miss. It's like all gear, and he gives me half of it. So I'm just wearing like, you know, I just have all this Ole Miss stuff. and I know people would be like, oh, you're really wearing it? Yeah.
Well, hopefully that changes with Clark Lee, maybe. We'll see.
He doesn't have any sway over that kind of stuff.
If he starts winning, you would.
That's if you really, I don't know. Just start winning, and that's enough for me as an alumni, to be honest. Win a game.
We have a lot of time to start talking Vandy football.
Some would say too much.
Too much time to talk Vandy football. All right, if you want to jump in, 615-844-5600, we want to talk to you. At 425, we're going to have Clint Lamb on. He's going to join us to talk about the Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban stuff that we were going to talk about Friday, but we weren't able to get him on. Now we're going to get him on to talk about that because that saga's continued. We're going to get Bruno's thoughts on it. We're going to got a lot of stuff to talk about. But right now, we're just kind of kicking around, talking about Bruno now that he's back in the studio for now. I always say for now. I just keep saying for now because that's how it was when you were doing the shows, like from there, because we didn't know if you were going to be there one day or the next. But he's here, so that's how it is. If you want to jump in, though, 615-844-5600. Let's go to the phone lines. Reagan, my man, how you doing, brother?
Oh, it's great to have someone back home, Bruno.
Yeah. Who's that? Your son?
You, for one. Hey, just want to compliment you on your prediction of, I guess it was a breaking story of St. Louis, the Battle Hawks coming back. Looks to me like it's going to be confirmed.
Yeah, it will be on June 1st. Yeah, I mean, you and I both knew like 9 months ago, and people were just scared to believe me. People were scared to believe me, and people kept posting under that post like, I spread misinformation on the internet. Yeah, I love doing that. Well, I mean, basically just a worker called me and was like, hey, the XFL is like ordering works on these days, like, you know,
like turf and stuff, right? Yeah, like, I remember that. And now you need to go back to that post and find those people that were telling you lies and just retweet it whenever it officially comes out.
Yeah.
And, you know, just put some meme.
Yeah. You know, as people post it, I'll throw on announced by Bruno Reagan 6 months ago.
Yeah, but I try to keep the XFL talk to a minimum because I'm still employed by Fox.
True.
Well, it's all about the media and the prediction, like it was with the Bandy Boys and the situation with the COVID game. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I always want people to, like, when they look at my stuff, I want them to think, is he lying or not? Because that's a funny conundrum when the things I say do come true.
Oh, man. And then the fact that your header on Twitter says I made it up.
Well, you've been on a roll. It's be interesting to see what you predict coming out here soon. Hopefully it'll be something in the UFC.
Dude, I wish. I feel like I've lost my thunder with the UFC.
Yeah, I mean, does anybody care about it right now?
UFC's pretty, it's been pretty bad. And it's been really bad, actually. Not pretty bad. It's been really bad.
It's not good.
Well, it's going to be a rough summer, but we'll get through it. Hopefully somebody big will come back and give us something new to talk about.
Dude, it's the recession. Like, UFC fighters are like, dude, I need a third shift at Kroger's.
Yeah. You
know, they're going to lose. They're going to lose like half their roster.
Hey, Reagan, I appreciate the call in, brother.
Peace out. See you, Judo.
Yeah, see you tonight.
All right, let's go to the phone line again. We ain't got a ton of time, but we want to get Jeff in the Burrow in. Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Yeah, I know I ain't got a ton of time, so I know about guests are real important, but I'll say this about Saban and Fisher. Like somebody said on the commentary, it's like two second graders didn't go back. They want to be leaders of men. Go back and coach your football teams, will you? Ain't nobody worried about it. Savage just ticked off with Kirby Smart beat him in January. He ain't worried about no Jimbo Fisher. And Jimbo told him he's going to whip him at media days last year, and he did. So that's why he's mad, because he couldn't beat A&M. Because like I said, 12th man, 41, Big Al, 38. So they couldn't even do that. So then go back and coach your football team. It ain't no big deal. I mean, they'll be in media days, and they'll get out in the middle of the floor and fight. They get three rounds of boxing. Get them out there and see if they can box each other to death. Let's see who can win. So. It ain't no big thing. It's just media fodder fans want to run their mouth and talk about who's the best and all this, and saving the best of all time or whatever it is. And Fisher ain't done nothing to A&M. We hear about all the resources they got. They ain't won a championship since the 30s, so they still ain't going to win. So don't make no difference, but, you know, and everything, but, you know, and all that. So, but I didn't want to ask you, Zach. Is the I know you did the full cat rhythm stuff last year. Is that still going on?
Yep, it'll start June third. Is I believe right, is their first game.
I knew it'd be pretty soon. I know they got to get their rosters out by the time the college season. I don't know how they do that with their rosters, but I know that with the college teams in their season about that time. So as far as the NCAA tournament, so and I would ask you, do you think Vanderbilt's going to host this year?
I think they would. Are they going to? Because, you know, Corbin said it before. I think it was on Pogue Show that Pogue and Burton said that they've hosted with less. So, you know, it's unfortunate what happened with LSU, obviously. But yeah. Still, I think they will.
Yeah, I know their RPI is like top five or whatever. They've got a real RPI. So we didn't have to lose a record in SEC that some people think they won't. So I just didn't know what you thought of it, but enjoy your show. Appreciate it.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. Thank you. If you want to jump in, 615-844-5600. If you want to jump in, we want to hear from you. Here in a second, we're going to be going over to Clint Lamb with On3 Sports. We want to get some breakdowns on this. He's got some receipts about the whole Jimbo Fisher stuff. Have you been seeing that? You've been following all the Jimbo Fisher. And
of course.
I saw you tweet. You said you're on Jimbo Fisher. Like you think you're on his
Jimbo
side.
Jimbo Fisher was in the right in the initial argument. And first of all, I mean, Jeff had probably the most boomer response imaginable, where he's like, just shut up and coach, you know? Nah, this is awesome. This is what I'm talking about. Is, you know, what's wrong with marketing and the millions of dollars at stake? This is something natural that comes up. There's going to be trash talk. I'm glad it kind of came out. Saban was a little ticked off, said some stuff, probably regrettable. The worst part is I didn't tweet about it yet, but I was initially team Fisher because he's just responding.
Yeah.
You can't just let Nick Saban do whatever he wants and not check him out in public like that. Jimbo Fisher had the appropriate response. Yeah. And then Nick Saban was like, I shouldn't have done that, and I'm sorry. And I'm like, because, you know, as a man of honor, it takes a lot to just sometimes be. There's so many people in this world that can't apologize. They have too much needless pride. People worse off than us, they're like, I'll never apologize. I mean, you can't apologize to your girlfriend. Nick Saban goes on public platform. He's like, I shouldn't have said any of that. I'm sorry. You know, as a man of honor, I deeply respect that. I wish the drama would have gone on more.
I know. That's what I think I said on when Friday or whenever it was when all happened. I was like, I just want him to get to SEC Media Days and just kiss.
That would break the internet.
I mean, all this sexual frustration that's going on between them right now. It's palpable. So
did I tell you that about the one time I saw Jimbo Fisher? He's at UFC Houston. I walked by. I walked close to him. I was like, Coach Fisher. He looks at me. And I'm like, oh, you don't know who I am.
I forget that I see you on stuff. All right, we need to run to the break. When we come back, we'll have Clint Lamb joining us as well. Later on, if you want to jump in, 615-844-5600 here on the Afternoon Stretch.
Good afternoon. We're checking your rank 65 northbound just past Trinity Lane. It's already busy in that section of East Nashville, continuing north of the city. 300 Broad Street, two cars are involved there with some injuries. Traffic's on the increase, I-40 out through Mount Juliet. Hey, Gatlinburg Wine Cellar, it's home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Check them out at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
No way, man. You're not getting by me.
You sure about that?
Nice basket. Man, I am slowing down as I get older, but you're unstoppable. What's your secret?
I gotta tell you, taking Nugenix Total T makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix, that's the testosterone booster you see on TV, right?
Yes, this is a legit product. The patented key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increase energy and lean muscle mass.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, and you should check it out. Nugenix Total T is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance. And like the TV ad says, she'll like it too.
Yeah, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
Just send them a text. Text KING to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text NOW and we'll include a bottle of new Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help get you back into shape absolutely free. Text KING to 321-321. That's KING to 321-321.
Products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
You may think every weather app is the same until you see WeatherBug over-deliver on so many layers. With more free map layers than any other weather app, WeatherBug warns you the moment lightning strikes near you. prepares you for your commute with road conditions, routes, and even cameras. With everything from pollen and air quality to severe storm risks, radar, and satellite coverage, WeatherBug prepares you for the unpredictable. Download the WeatherBug app, trusted by over 10 million users, today for free.
Celebrate spring at Slim Chickens with a grilled chicken strawberry salad. Fresh greens piled with feta cheese, crisp cucumbers, candied pecans, and 100% all-natural grilled tenders, topped with red ripe strawberries. The grilled chicken strawberry salad. But hurry, it's only back for a limited time. Need a sweet spring treat? Upgrade your drink with any adult meal to a hand-spun strawberry milkshake. Slim Chickens. Dine in, drive through, online, or delivery.
Anywhere fans go to cheer on their team, there are behind-the-scenes MVPs ensuring everything is game day ready. We see you, Joe, fixing seats so every fan can enjoy every game. And Allie, who keeps her stadium running smoothly from the moment the first game starts to the last play of the season. At Grainger, you're our MVPs, and we're always here for you with supplies and solutions for every industry and 24/7 customer support. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Throughout this afternoon, a slight chance of some scattered showers. Otherwise cloudy and temperatures low 70s. Mostly cloudy skies for the overnight. Lows drop to the upper 50s. And on Tuesday, mostly sunny. Slight chance of showers in the afternoon. High of 85. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner. Sports Radio
Welcome back to the afternoon stretch. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams here inside the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studios. Glad to have you all with us on this May 23rd, Monday. Doesn't feel like Monday, but it is a Monday today, so it's all the same. Got a fun one here. We hadn't had Clint on in a little bit. It's been a couple months, I believe, since we've had him on. Good buddy of the show, Clint Lamb. You can, of course, find him on Twitter at Clint R. Lamb. He's verified, so, you know, he's one of the chosen few out there. Team reporter for Bama On 3 and On 3 Sports. Clint, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing fantastic. How you doing today, Zach?
Doing well. Of course, we tried to hook up on Friday, and that got pushed to today because I just know schedules, and then when news like this hits, it gets crazy immediately. So I totally understand you completely giving me the Heisman on my text message and not responding.
This is supposed to be the slow part of the off season, and as long as these SEC coaches keep opening up their mouths in front of reporters and media alike, I mean, I don't think it's going to be that much of an off season.
Well, you know, and that foyers perfectly into where we were, you know, Thursday, Wednesday, when this all hit with Saban and Jimbo Fisher. You know, first, give me your first thoughts on that, because obviously you come from the Bama side. So I do think inherently, just because we talk about the game all the time here on the show, that there's going to be a little bit of more of a Bama spin on it for you, just because that is what you cover and that's your bread and butter. Where do you feel when you first heard this? When you first heard Saban go into, I'm assuming that was like some sort of boosters meeting or whatever, because it sounded like he was talking to business people of that area. What were your first thoughts when you heard Saban make his comments about the NIL?
Well, I wasn't there in attendance. I wasn't able to be. But when I first saw the quote pop up on Twitter, I 100% thought it was fake. The person that I saw reporting it, you know, someone that's kind of newer in the industry, not saying that they're not trusted by any means. It's just, you know, you would never imagine Nick Saban to say something like, you know, Texas A&M bought every player. We didn't buy any player. And so when I first saw it, I completely dismissed it. And then when, you know, someone that I know personally, I'm in the press box with them every week, when I saw them essentially tweet the same thing, I was floored. You know, people that I've talked to who kind of are in the know, they've kind of hinted at the fact that they think that Nick Saban didn't fully realize that the media was in attendance. You know, he thought he was talking to people kind of behind the scenes, and you get a lot of that as far as, you know, coaches and stuff kind of rallying the troops behind the scenes and things like that. And then when it actually became public, you know, he came out and he apologized for attacking individuals. And I think that I don't think that if he would have been in front of the media or realized that he was in front of the media, I don't think that you would have got him going after people like, you know, Jackson State and a guy who he loves and works with in Deion Sanders. To me, that kind of also points to this idea that, you know, I don't think he was trying to necessarily out anybody publicly, but more behind the scenes. But the bottom line is that it got out and it was not a good look. And I think that he was, you know, it was the correct move for him to come out the next day and apologize for it.
Yeah, I think what it seemed like from Nick Saban's point of view is he's trying to sell to these, you know, Alabama interests that, you know, oh, because you really think Alabama didn't buy a single player? You know, that's kind of bull.
Well, it's the old joke, right? Yeah. Of like every time.
But he's selling.
Yeah, yeah. A new Bama player joins before NIL. It was always like their first post is like, I'm so excited to go to Alabama. Then their next Instagram post is like them in front of a scat pack. Like,
well, what's the thing you do with you go, hey, look at what these people had. Look at their pretty toys. We need those toys. I mean, that's what he's trying to do. I don't know who's record. I don't know why you're recording that meeting, but yeah, because the Deion site was also just out of left field. Like, you're Alabama and you're mad that they got the number one like some HBCU got a prospect. I think he was just trying to play his position, and for whatever reason, that got out into the media.
I think, you know, with the Deion Sanders thing, I think the reason for bringing that up is a place that wouldn't typically have been able to land the top recruit in the country is able to sign him. I think he was trying to paint the picture to people, hey, this is to a point where even if you're, you know, a smaller, you know, HBCU, if you're willing to put that money up front and you're willing to kind of do some of this stuff, you can get the best of the absolute best. There is no school that is off the table if you're willing to, you know, utilize this NIL stuff. And as far as, you know, Alabama, the way that Nick Saban has said that he wants to kind of structure things as far as NIL is he wants there to be enough Bryce Youngs on the team, guys who are already at Alabama who have been rewarded through pretty big, sizable NIL deals to be able to entice some of these players without them having to go and say, hey, we'll promise you X amount of money if you come play for us. Instead, it's looking at Bryce Young and saying, okay, that's their starting quarterback, their star, reigning Heisman Trophy winner. He's, you know, before he even took a snap, he had already gotten a $1 million NIL deal with him already being on campus. When I get there, if I choose to go play for Nick Saban at Alabama, I'll be well positioned for the NFL. But I also know that once I'm there, they're going to be able to take care of me. That's kind of what he wants to do. He has no problem with players getting paid. He just doesn't want the decision to be made, okay, I want to go to this school because I'm getting paid X amount of money. He wants you to make your college decision and then be rewarded through NIL deals through that way. And he doesn't necessarily think that some of these other schools, whether Jimbo Fisher is involved with that process or not, you know, you got collectives out here that are kind of acting independently from college programs. And, you know, the word out on the street is they're paying athletes huge sums of money with absolutely no accountability, and it's very hard to prove. You know, I think Jimbo Fisher earlier today, he came out and said only one of Texas A&M's 11 early enrollees had an NIL deal already in place before they came to Texas A&M. When you look at it that way, it's like, okay, but were things promised? You know, on paper, you might not have anything exactly in agreement, but they might still be there because you've made promises to them based off of money. Not saying, you know, one way or the other that that's what Texas A&M is doing, but I think that, you know, when Greg Sankey's looked into it, he's made some comments about how they're seeing a lot less, you know, NIL people getting paid, you know, to provide services and capitalizing on their name, image, and likeness. You're seeing more just straight payments. And I think that that's something that Nick Saban is trying to avoid, or at least that's what he's telling people.
We're talking with Clint Lamb. He covers Alabama football for On3 Sports, that is. Follow him on Twitter, at Clint R. Lamb. Now, I mean, before we go further with any more of like what Jimbo or anyone said, do you feel like with Saban, I feel like this is one, I'm going to ask a two-part question here because it's going to get deep and you're going to have to probably ask me what the second part of it was. But the first question is, do you feel like this is the cracks in the foundation of the legacy, not legacy, but of the foundation that Saban has built at Alabama? Because it kind of feels like he's not moving with the times here. And then two, do you ever see him maybe making an about face and going back on what he's saying with this and coming up with the collective? Because it feels like Alabama could do that overnight if they wanted to.
I think it's already in place. You know, from people that I've talked to, it's not that Alabama didn't have the collectives. It's that they're not wanting to utilize those and target high school kids to say, hey, you know what? I think Nick Saban's been frustrated with, especially in recent, you know, weeks about the whole process, is when a recruit comes to him and he's trying to, you know, get a guy to commit to Alabama, and they say, hey, coach, you know, X program just offered me, you know, $800,000 if I'll commit and go play for them. Can you match that? Nick said, you know, he doesn't have to know what the media is saying or what, you know, A&M or anybody else is admitting to. If a player's telling him that's what's happening behind the scenes, that's the most reliable source you could possibly have. But at the same time, I guess you could also argue that a player could make that up, you know, to try to get money out of them. But with Saban, I don't think it's necessarily one thing about Nick Saban's coaching career is he's always been willing to adapt. And what there's kind of always been the same process, right, where he'll come out against something and he'll complain about it because he doesn't like it. It's hurry-up offense. It's transfer portal. It's all kinds of different things that he doesn't think is good for the game. And people always argue, well, he's worried about it being a chink in the armor and, you know, him, you know, not having the same advantage. You know, he's a defensive-minded guy. If you let offense start running rampant in college football, he won't be as effective of a head coach. And then, you know, instead he'll warn you for a while, and then he'll counter and say, okay, I'll utilize this the same you guys are, but, you know, I'm going to make you pay for it. And then he ends up doing it better than a lot of other people can. So I'm wondering, I know that Alabama has collectives in place, and I think that's kind of what he was getting at with, you know, the speech that he was originally giving was, if things don't change with some of these other programs, we're going to have to adjust and have to, you know, start targeting some of these high school kids. And promise, which is not, by the way, everybody thinks that, you know, buying recruits is legal right now. It's not. The problem is that collectives have a loophole, and there's nothing in the contract that mentions the school or that they have to play for the school as a condition to get the money. But it is essentially, you know, I think the collectives have done a fantastic job of covering their tails as far as NIL are concerned. But Saban's essentially saying, hey, you know, we've got to start ponying up some money if things don't change. With where college football is at with the NCAA and the fact that, you know, through litigation, they're not really protected from being sued. We're trending towards what we have right now, which is more of the same. And Alabama, I think, will adjust. I just don't think that Nick Saban believes that's good for college football, so he's fighting it. But if that's something that college football wants to keep around, that's something that he'll adjust to.
Because, you know, obviously, this all starts just because the Supreme Court starts sniffing around NCAA and college football and is like, hey, there is something screwy going on here. So NCAA just, I mean, almost like immediately throws up NIL. They just throw it out there. There was no, you know, I think I talked about it on Friday. There, you know, Texas and Oklahoma can't join the SEC for like 5 years, but NIL was done overnight, you know, for something that soon and for that big. They didn't do any of their due diligence. Do you feel like, I mean, a lot of people are already saying these coaches are starting to band together and you're starting to hear more noise about it. NIL is going to get changed. Do you think that's actually going to happen? Or do you think that this is kind of going to be just a symptom that we're going to hear for the next few years while people start adjusting to NIL?
I think it's going to be a slow process. I don't think that it should be. But based off of, you know, where current trends are, you're right. When they really need to get something done, they get it done, and right now they're kind of, you know, it's the NCAA in this particular case, and I'm not a supporter of the NCAA. I think they've mishandled this entire situation from the beginning.
Shockingly.
In a lot of ways, their hands are tied. And what I find fascinating is if the transfer portal aspect of it does not come in the same offseason as passing the ability to profit off your name, image, and likeness, we don't see what we're seeing to this degree. You would see it on the high school level, which is, you know, a lot of what Nick Saban's talking about in his criticisms. But you also have players, you know, like Caleb Williams. And I'm not saying, I'm just using him as an example. If he wants to, if he doesn't feel like, you know, he was already on campus, you know, he couldn't really, you know, capitalize on getting to pick a school and everybody, you know, having bidders at that point. So if he wanted to, you can enter the transfer portal, put yourself out there, and if Oklahoma didn't pony up at that point, somebody else will be willing to. And I'm just using him as an example, but the transfer portal and having the ability, if a player could transfer and they had to sit out, then they might not be willing to do that, even if they were going to get paid more money somewhere else. But the fact that you can transfer immediately, be immediately eligible, there's no contracts. There's no, you know, commitment to the school, really. It's kind of the wild, wild west out there, and I think it's just this combination of factors. Not only do you have to worry about recruiting the high school level and, you know, keeping your own players happy because of the transfer portal, you also have this ongoing NIL thing where you're trying to navigate, you know, not just your typical recruiting tactics, it's also making sure that guys don't feel disrespected by the amount of money that they're getting. What are you able to do for them, both the guys that you're bringing in and the guys you already have on campus? So it's just a very fascinating, interesting dynamic with the whole NIL process that, I mean, I'll be curious to see how teams like Alabama, you know, adjust. I think when you look at Dabo Swinney and Clemson, I think they've probably been the slowest as far as their adjustment to the transfer portal. Ultimately, I think that's going to hurt Dabo Swinney and that program. Hopefully, Alabama and Nick Saban doesn't let the same thing happen with them on the NIL front.
This is the world libertarians want, man. I mean, just total anarchy, free. Like, you talk about free market. This is, NIL is about as free as it gets right now.
Clint, we don't typically do this, but you're giving us a lot of good stuff, and I still have tons of questions. Would you be able to hold over with us for another segment through the break?
Absolutely.
I appreciate it, my man. We got to run to a break. We're right up against it right now. We come back, we got more questions to Clint because he's given just a wealth of knowledge on this right now, and I think it's some really good stuff. If you want to jump in, maybe if you want to ask Clint a question, I think Clint would be okay with that. Jump in, 615-844-5600. Back after this here on the Afternoon Stretch.
Trying to clean up a wreck, 65 northbound here at the South Loop. It's busy as expected on 65 up towards Vietnam Vets, trying to get up towards Goodlettsville. We're still looking at this wreck over here being cleared on 24 westbound at OHB north of town. As you head up towards the Jolton area, you'll definitely see the flashing lights. Hey, Princess Hot Chicken is now hiring at both locations. Check them out at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
This is Coach Tim Corbin. The Vandy boys play here on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
So when we brought him home, we didn't realize that Bear, the rescue dog, was actually sick. He had very flaky skin. He was dropping a lot of fur, and the vet wanted to do steroid injections, special dog food. Nothing seemed to work, so I was at a dead end.
DINOVITE.com.
I've been hearing Dinovite on the radio for years. It never actually crossed my mind to try it until it finally sunk in. Oh, you're talking about hair and skin. And all right, I'll try it. Well, it took probably 6 weeks, but after we started using Dinovite, no more flaky skin. He doesn't scratch and itch, and he started to put weight on.
Dinovite is nutrition.
I wish that we would have started the Dinovite right away. It would have been so much easier.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
Every rescue dog in America deserves Dinovite for 90 days.
DINOVITE.com.
Hey Nashville, Ray here from Run With It. Let me tell you about our sponsor, Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House. And with four locations in Bellevue, Murfreesboro, Spring Hill, and East Nashville, they're your home for the best gourmet pizza and craft beers in Music City. Join me on Monday nights at the East Nashville location for poker night. And if you think you know everything, try Wednesday night trivia at both locations. Gourmet pizzas, craft beers, online at Boom, BOZZ.com. Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House.
It's a Bill King Show.
Whether you like Alabama or not, you're witnessing an unparalleled, unprecedented run. You're living it. You're watching it. You have memories that are deep of it. To be that dominant, you don't get to see that through the years that much. But this right here is crazy. This right here is off the chart. Can't believe it's happening, and they're not slowing down.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Welcome back. The Afternoon Stretch. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams here inside the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studios. We're keeping the conversation going with Clint Lamb. You can follow him on Twitter at Clint R. Lamb. He covers Alabama football for On3 Sports. A lot of good stuff already out of this. And like I said, we don't ever really keep guests on pass another segment just because this is a good stuff right now. Clint's got on, so he's a terrific follow, by the way, on Twitter, because even his it's your biggest tweet was the Will Smith slap Peter Parker's tweet. That was like, were you just sitting there waiting for that, or did that just come to you in a dream?
That was off the cuff. I really wasn't expecting it to have the kind of popularity that it did. It's kind of wild. A lot of times I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, this tweet's going to be a banger, and it gets, you know, 6 retweets, and then that one was just one that just off the cuff threw it out there, and you never know what can happen.
Now you're famous in Hollywood. That's the way it goes. So we're talking about the Nick Saban situation. One thing I wanted to ask you, and really what spawned me wanting to get you on immediately, was I saw what you put up of the Jimbo Fisher quotes, about past quotes, I guess, from what he's mentioned about Saban. Can you kind of go through those and give me your thoughts on each one of those?
Well, you know, kind of the point of it, because I think, you know, Jimbo Fisher going out of his way, he wanted you to know two things about his character from that press conference: that he doesn't lie and he doesn't cheat. And then he proceeds to completely rip on Nick Saban, talked about how all the coaches around college football know what he's like behind the scenes. Anybody that's coached under him, they know what kind of shady business he pulls. And how he had no interest in going to work back under him when he had the opportunity to, when Nick Saban first came back from the Miami Dolphins to college football to coach Alabama. And just, in my mind, it was the complete polar opposite from what I'd heard Jimbo Fisher and how I'd heard him describe Nick Saban over the years. And so I went and actually found some of those quotes, didn't put a ton of time into it. But, you know, I found, you know, four of them where he's not only complimented Nick Saban as a person, but the way he runs his program. You know, I respect everything that they do and how they do it. These are all comments that he's made. And so, and a lot of people in response to this have said, well, he's allowed to change his mind on, you know, based off of, you know, Nick Saban coming after him. And to my response to that has been, absolutely. If he wants to say, you know, I used to have a lot of respect for Nick Saban, but based off of recent events, I'm kind of, you know, I'm having to rethink that respect. I don't agree with the way that he's coming at me. Then I could completely understand that and get behind it. But when you go from saying that you have so much respect for him and his program, and he has done things the right way, and his ability to adjust, and just the greatness of him, to kind of in some ways backhandedly mocking people who have considered him the greatest of all time, and then also saying that you've known all along that he runs all this shady business behind the scenes, you were either lying about Nick Saban back then for those 15 to 20 years, or you're lying about Nick Saban now. But that's kind of where the whole thing starts. It's like, okay, you claim you know, you're not a liar and you're not a cheater. I mean, clearly, based off of things that you said in the past, the lying part, not necessarily true. Would the cheating part be true at that point? That's kind of where I was going with that, and that was the entire point of it. But, you know, I understand that Jimbo Fisher would be hurt by the comments, you know, especially with him singling him out. That's kind of the one. I mean, when you use a big polarizing word like "bye," I think that that changes everything. Like, if he would have worded it differently and said incentivized or enticed players to come Dallas or to come to Texas A&M, then I think it would have been, you know, I'm not saying it would have been better necessarily, but I think in some ways it would have. But it was the fact that you came out and the wording that you used was Texas A&M bought their entire, you know, all of their players. And what's interesting is I think that the Texas A&M that Nick Saban was criticizing isn't necessarily the same Texas A&M that Jimbo Fisher's defending. I think Nick Saban was talking about Texas A&M in a very generic way, talking about the collective that is involved with Texas A&M and things that they were willing to do. But, of course, Jimbo is a part of the Texas A&M program. He's the face of it. And so when he's using a generic term like Texas A&M, then Jimbo Fisher is going to take offense to it, and, you know, he's going to get upset about it. So I understand it from both sides. I think in a lot of ways both guys are correct. I just think that Jimbo Fisher crossed some lines. Nick Saban certainly needed to apologize for getting specific on people and programs, but I think Jimbo Fisher, as far as attacking Nick Saban's character and response, was a little bit over the top.
Do you think these guys are ever going to get back in the good graces of each other? And I mean, it seems like obviously they had a relationship from what we've seen, but then like what Jimbo came out, it seemed like Jimbo maybe just had a, I mean, to me, it seems like he had a bit of a tantrum, just like Saban. Yeah, it seemed like Saban had a bit of a tantrum also, just in a different way, and then a gut reaction came out of Jimbo. Do you think these guys are ever going to, you know, be civil or any? Are we going to go to SEC Media Days and see these guys just fight?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I've certainly circled SEC Media Days because and they're not going to be going on the same days, but just seeing how those guys both react, you know, Nick Saban, I think, is going to be going first, if I'm not mistaken, seeing what he says about it. If you just kind of look at how they've both responded to this, like I said, I'm not entirely sure Nick Saban knew that he was being recorded and that this was, the media was in attendance and that this was going to be going out everywhere. But since then, since he's come to realize that is in fact what happened, he's come out and he said, I never should have done that. I stand by what I said as far as the overall picture, but getting specific and bringing up Jackson State and bringing up Miami and bringing up Texas A&M, I shouldn't have done that. He seems to be trying to be more professional about it. Jimbo Fisher's kind of staying on the same lines. He's still fired up about it. He's still upset. And so, you know, I would guess that Nick Saban's going to be civil moving forward and kind of handle it the same way he did on Sirius XM radio a few days ago. You know, Jimbo Fisher, we'll see how he feels in, you know, a couple of months. But as far as their relationship being repaired, I would, you know, never say never. But right now, I mean, I don't see a path where it would, based off the way, you know, that at least we know Jimbo Fisher feels publicly and probably where Nick Saban's at.
All right, this will be the last question. And really, it might be the most important one. Jake Paul and Logan Paul have made this such celebrity boxing thing so real. Who wins in a boxing match, Jimbo or Nick Saban?
Oh, man.
And how much money could we make?
I've seen them both in person. Easily Jimbo. Jimbo would open up as a minus 800 favorite, for sure.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. I think a lot of Nick Saban's, you know, intimidation's mental. I don't necessarily, I'll say this, the man finds a way to win. So if that translated to his boxing career, then, you know, I wouldn't completely count him out. But based off of, you know, there might be a David Goliath type of situation.
I mean, if Ric Flair can win a championship at like 60, 70, you know, Nick Saban could do it.
Hey, Clint, I appreciate you jumping on with us, my man. You can go follow him on Twitter at Clint R. Lamb. Thank you so much, man.
No problem. I appreciate you guys. Talk to you guys soon.
Absolutely. We'll have him on a whole lot when it comes college football time. And I mean, Lord, and college football time is just any time now, it seems like, because just like he said to start off the interview, I mean, this should be the quiet time of college football.
Well, the problem is we're starting to get into a recession, so people are really nailing down what matters in their lives, and it's not baseball. It's not tennis. It's not whatever sports are going on right now. People are like, I need the things that comfort me now in the summer. So college football's on everyone's mind.
There would be some people that would adamantly disagree with you. And they might call in. And they should. 615-844-5600. Tell Bruno how absolutely stupid and wrong he is. Because he needs to hear it, I think. He really does. Vandy boys are about to get back into, you know, postseason play. That was super fun last year. And that was great for your Twitter.
It was. I mean, well, that was mostly just us really, like, we were I look back at those tweets, we were really hammering those NC State guys. Like,
it just goes to show
how soulless, like, this job is, because those guys are so used to being, like, just, I guess, slapped around. Like, they just don't care. They, you know, fat smile on their face every day, which I, you know, when you have never done anything with your life like those guys have, so you manage to work 2 hours a day and then you're making good money, you get slapped around, you're okay with it. Personally, I never let that happen to me, but they, you know, they're fine with that.
I gotta say, you used the word "we." It was you,
dude. Like, I'll do the
royal "we." Like, I'm a part. You know what I mean? I'll represent you in that.
I don't there's something to say about, like, marketing and selling something, but when they were like, Tim Corbin is evil. This is like, this is one of the best dude. That's the dude that's gone through some stuff, some serious stuff.
Oh, I know Vandy fans.
And they're
fans,
just lying.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah. I know Vandy fans are upset right now because the SEC Baseball Awards came out, and Coach of the Year, Tony Vitello over in the Vols.
Hey, they earned it. They're crazy.
Yeah, they are. All right, we need to run to a break. If you want to jump in, 615-844-5600. We want to hear from you back after this here on the Afternoon Stretch.
Good afternoon. The moving rank 65 northbound at Vietnam Vets. It's got an extra slow up through Madison up towards Goodlettsville now. It's busy, but it's moving I-40 out past the airport. All the traffic in Wilson County right now. A little bit of radar earlier, I-40 out in Dixon County. Hey, Princess Hot Chicken is now hiring at both locations. Log on to princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
The 2022 NASCAR All-Star Race from Texas Motor Speedway. 24 cars racing for $1 million in prize money. Let's head to stage one now, where Kyle Busch was the pole sitter for the entire event and wins the first stage, leading every single lap. On to stage two, where Kyle Larson wrecked his number five car early in this stage. And that was the end of things for Kyle Busch as well, as he wrecks from a flat tire. Ross Chastain goes airborne, going alongside the 18. Also involved was Chase Elliott, who was just kind of minding his own business, got clipped and hit the wall. Austin Cindric wins the stage. Joey Logano's pit crew won the pit stop. For stage three, Christopher Bell, while running second, pounds the wall, bringing out the caution, and Ryan Blaney wins the stage outright. On to stage four, and the race win. Eric Jones wrecks coming off turn four to bring out the caution rather than that competition scheduled caution on lap 105. Ryan Blaney wins the 2022... Oh, wait, no. The caution came out before he took the checkered flag. Ryan spends the cooldown laps trying to get his window net back up because, you know, he pulled it down because he thought he won. On the restart, window net flapping in the wind. Blaney holds off his teammate Austin Cindric and a hard-charging Denny Hamlin to actually win this time and grabs the $1 million prize money. The Coca-Cola 600 from Charlotte Motor Speedway, 6 p.m. Eastern Sunday on Fox, is the NASCAR Cup Series' longest race of the season.
If you have a small business, Staples has your sign.
Banners for my bakery?
Staples has your sign.
Oh, posters for my new pet store.
Floor decals for a pharmacy.
Every day, Staples associates help every kind of small business create bold signs to make big impressions. And now get $10 off custom signs, banners, and posters when you spend $50 or more. This is your sign, so print it big at Staples. N72. Visit staplesconnect.com/thisisyoursign for details.
Now Martha Stewart for Skechers.
When I make a dish or embark on a craft project, I always use the finest, most fabulous ingredients and materials. Which is why, when it comes to footwear, I love Skechers. Because Skechers is the comfort technology company and uses the most luxurious, innovative materials and designs to make wondrously comfortable footwear with all the fits and features like Arch Fit and Skechers' world-famous air-cooled memory foam. It's exactly the way I'd make shoes.
Find Skechers at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Here at Total Wine & More, you'll find what you love and love what you find, especially our totally low prices.
My friends and I are hanging out this weekend, and I'm on cooler duty.
Well, these seltzers and canned cocktails, they'll make you the king of the cooler.
Oh, that sounds good. Wow, I can fill my cooler without emptying my wallet?
Find what you love, love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Pickup and delivery available at TotalWine.com. Drink responsibly, B21.
Welcome back. The afternoon stretch. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams here in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studios. If you want to get involved, 615-844-5600. Only a few, really just actual seconds of the first hour, but we got a second hour coming up. We want to get into more what's Bruno's thoughts with these, this not just, you know, the Saban stuff, but the NIL stuff as a whole, because it's turning into, you know, it's not just Saban. I mean, Saban was the start of this. He was like the precipice of coaches like really complaining about it. And it was going to take somebody of Saban's stature to talk about it, to really start getting people on board. Kirby Smart's out here talking about, you know, players shouldn't go to the highest bidder and blah, 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 blah. It seems like it's just so...
I'll give you a preamble. Why not? Do they, when they say these things, they're using their ethos as an argument against you. Do they give a reason? Well, players shouldn't go to the highest bidder. Ask them why not. Yeah. Ask them why not. Are you against these young men getting money?
We want our advantages. We hate having advantages that way.
But people are enamored by Nick Saban. Jimbo Fisher was on something. He was like, is he God? No. First, I mean, because, yeah, go ahead.
First hour done, second hour coming up.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. In a break with U.S. policy of being intentionally ambiguous, President Biden was explicit during a press conference in Japan that the U.S. would come to Taiwan's defense if China invaded. Then came the backpedaling. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin today.
Our one China policy has not changed.
The White House later saying policy has always been that the U.S. would simply assist Taiwan in defending itself. The CDC today saying that there is one confirmed monkeypox case and four presumptive cases awaiting CDC confirmation currently in the United States. Never have I been so ashamed of my country. That from Russia's counselor to the UN in Geneva, according to a report from UN Watch, Boris Bondarev resigning over his country's invasion of Ukraine. Atlanta police arresting a man who threatened to blow up Tyler Perry Studios. A report says the man called and insisted on speaking with the studio's namesake and threatened to blow the place up when he couldn't get through. This is ABC News.
If you have certain chronic conditions, such as heart disease,
asthma,
diabetes, and you're 19 years of age or older,
52,
36,
42,
you may be at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
I'm going to ask my doctor
about getting vaccinated
with Prevnar 20.
From the big game to the big dance, Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel downtown is your game day and watch party headquarters. Don't worry about entertaining guests and trying to feed everyone. Sit back, relax, cheer on your team, and let the Bar Line staff take care of you. Grab a Bar Line signature cocktail and enjoy some wicked deviled eggs. Or a Bar Line's double stack and finish it off with some Jack and Coke chocolate cake. Bust your belly and your bracket at Bar Lines. Located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
Do you find yourself looking for new and exciting things to do locally with your family during the hot summer months? Thanks to Strike and Spare, you don't have to look any further. Sign up today for Kids Bowl Free. Kids Bowl Free is a summer pass where your kids 15 and under receive two free games of bowling every day. You can also purchase a family pass that allows you to join in on the fun. Visit any of the five local Strike and Spare locations in Hendersonville, Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, and Murfreesboro, or visit kidsbowlfree.com/Strike and Spare and sign up today. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
The world champs are back. The Braves are out to defend their world championship. And behind Matt Olson, Ronald Acuna, Dansby Swanson, Max Fried, and this loaded 2022 roster, a repeat is within reach.
Here goes Ozzie, 2-2 on the way. Hit well. Deep center field. Might have ourselves a tie ball game. You betcha.
And we'll bring you every huge moment of the Braves 2022 season right here.
The Braves, live here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Okay, it's happening.
It's the afternoon stretch with Zach Williams and Bruno Reagan.
Everybody stay calm. Sure. Stay calm.
Now here's Bruno and Zach.
Second hour of the afternoon stretch here on Nashville Sports Radio. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams here in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. 503 here in the Music City. If you want to get involved, 615-844-5600. We want to talk to you. Phone lines wide open. Last hour, we got in with Clint Lamb. A lot of good stuff, I feel like. Clint's honestly a really good resource for that because I think he does a terrific job, one, keeping up with, you know, obviously Alabama. But with the Saban and Jimbo Fisher stuff, it has opened a lot of questions directly about NIL. And we talked about this because when did NIL actually start? It's less than a year, I feel like.
Yeah, it's been less than a year for sure.
And we said right at the get-go, like, this is...
It was like right before last season. It's almost been a year.
And it felt like it was instantly thrown in with no procedures in place, no nothing. It was just like, you can make money.
It's the freest market you'll ever see in your lifetime. That's what happened.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. And, of course, the argument was, at the beginning, well, you know, there's going to be five players on the team that are going to make $80 million, and there's going to be the rest of the guys who are not going to make anything.
What's wrong with that?
Well,
call in. I'm going to ask some questions. I'm going to ask questions to you. What's wrong with that? Football purists, call in or text me or whatever. I don't know. Figure out a way to communicate. What's wrong with what's wrong with someone making $80 million?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Well, and that's so we had a caller, a listener, call in, and he was talking about how he was still bringing up the argument, and this is just their argument. This isn't my argument, but he was bringing up the argument that, you know, still that players, you know, they get room and board, they get fed, they have a free education, they have all this stuff. So he was still using that argument, which I feel like is antiquated at this point.
That argument's null and valid. If these, you know, why these players are getting $1 million? Because that's what they're being valued at by a free the literal free market.
Yeah.
You call yourself an American. Isn't that like the most American principle in the world is the free market?
And that's the craziest thing.
It's crazy how much people go back on their values when it's not convenient to them, isn't it, Zach?
Well, that's all it is, because I would argue majority of college football fans.
I'm a man that would have not been paid a dime. But seeing these kids get paid, it's a great thing, because a lot of the guys I knew come from hard situations. When you come from a hard situation, you start making money, the situation gets less hard.
But as a player, go back to your recruiting days, and you're looking at Texas, right? An offensive lineman, just in general. They're making $50,000 a year to be an offensive lineman on Texas.
Yeah, CSGO would have gotten all, Valve and CSGO and Steam would have gotten every bit of that $50K.
But you're swayed.
Yeah.
You're swayed right off that.
100%, yeah.
I mean, how do you not, if you're a kid or a player that's coming out of high school, or really at this point, not even high school, just coming through the transfer portal, how are you not foaming at the mouth just to go there in general? You could potentially make $200,000 in your 4 years and get an education.
Would have made it a lot easier to get through those years, tell you what. Made it a lot easier.
Because how much did you get as – didn't y'all get like per diems or something?
$1,000 a semester?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, I mean, essentially nothing comparatively to what we're seeing now. But the arguments that people are making right now that they still like, and coaches.
Well, they're not
are.
Making arguments. People are not making. There is no argument to be had right now. That's what you're starting to make the scholastic in me come out.
Ooh,
it's you're
learned
not
making Bruno.
You're not making arguments. You're pleading to your emotions. That's what people are doing. College football shouldn't be this way because it's about X. Why? You're not giving me substance.
Okay, let me give you this: purity of the game.
It's never been pure. And if you argue that it was, you know, you have to give me examples, because as an insider, I know it's not pure. I know it's not pure. People are getting, you know, people, Alabama recruits would post pictures of Mustangs for fun before they got to the school. Yeah. Someone's doing it.
Well, or, you know, Vols with their McDonald's money, right?
Like that. Hey, I knew insiders to that. The McDonald's stuff was not true.
Oh, really?
But there was. There was stuff going on. It just wasn't happening from McDonald's bags.
Yeah.
it was a misdirected. It was an exaggerated story. They were cheating though. But I have insiders into that. But it, the McDonald's stuff was kind of like just a funny spin on the story that was going on. They were getting paid under the table.
Yeah.
No, it was the source told me we were just doing what everyone was already doing.
Well, and you look at like Reggie Bush and what he did.
So if you're arguing purity to the game, I would just, you know, I would basically counteract to your ignorance. You're simply ignorant, and people take ignorant as an offensive term. It's not your fault. You don't know that this stuff's going on.
Yeah.
The game was never pure. It's not pure. It's not pure at all. Nick Saban has every advantage in the game. Nick Saban's talking about parity. He is playing his position, and he's a smart guy. He does it well. He plays his position. One of the best pieces of advice my coach gave me, one of my coaches, my special teams coach at the USL gave me, he's like, dude, guys, it's always about the money. Every decision ever is about people playing their position and playing the money. Nick Saban might totally believe different things than what he goes out there and says. He is playing his position because he makes a zillion dollars a year. Why would you ever give that up? That's the most American thing you can do, I think.
Yeah.
True. Why can't these kids make money? If your arguments come from arguments of emotion, and you can't substantiate the background of your argument other than the college football. If you come out to me and you say, I just liked it better than beforehand, I can't argue with you. That's a valid point.
Yeah.
Your single opinion, if there's a million people that have your same opinion, it's a good opinion because there's power in numbers. But unless you can give me a substantial argument on why should these kids not be paid, when clearly if they're being paid, they're worth that much. That's just their worth.
Yeah. Well, it's just the NFL.
And hey, if you think you're going to be able to regulate now afterwards, who in history has ever been happy with a pay cut?
Yeah.
So you're telling me there's going to be this golden age of college athletics, this 5 to 10 year span, and then it's going to get regulated, and then we're all gonna, no one's going to make money anymore. Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. No. I firmly believe that's never going to happen because
it's like trying to put a dam back together.
Yeah, exactly. The water's spilt, man. Yeah. The water's going. You're just not going to be able to change this, and it's so deep. That I put this up. I don't even know if I've told you this yet, but like my idea is that we're going to see college football become professional football because it is.
Oh, someone brought up a great point. I wish I could credit his account that I saw it off. He's going to be like, when is it going to be the first time that people don't opt into the NFL because they're making more in college? So they stay 5 years in college. You're making, if you're a first round draft pick in the NFL, you make like $30 million guaranteed. Well, what if you're projected as a third or fourth? You would be incentivized if you were a third or fourth to still leave school early. Well, now you're just going to stay 5 years because you're getting paid more.
You might be crediting me because I've been saying this whole time. It really. I mean, there's going to become a day where because right now college football doesn't have Tebow. It doesn't have Trevor Lawrence. It doesn't have that person yet right now. There's no player that we could say is a bona fide like star that people are just we like this person. There's guys who could be that. But they're not there right now. When that player shows up and they're making $80 million in 1 year because they have 40 different brand deals that are paying them $2 million a year.
That's going to be awesome.
Why would they ever go to the NFL? And I believe firmly that...
College football kills the NFL?
Well, we always talk about NFL saying that it owns a day of the week. Well, there's only one other sport that does that too, and it's college football. Just on Saturdays, right? Like there really isn't another sport that does that. So at what point do we see the NCAA one try to get their hands in the pockets of these players? Because they're gonna figure out a way that it doesn't retract what the kids are making. It's just going to add on what people are spending. I believe that's gonna happen. They're gonna figure out a way to say, like, okay, there's a lot of money getting moved around right now, and we're not getting it. Because effectively, Aflac or Chick-fil-A, or you know, some of Dr. Pepper, these huge college football sponsors, they could go away from directly college football. They could go directly to that next Tebow, that next Lawrence, whoever they are.
Yeah, and the contract could be two pages.
Exactly.
X amount of money, X amount of time, dotted line.
So it could steal essentially from them. So that once the NCAA figures that out and crosses that bridge, then it's going to be, okay, why are we losing players to another football league when we're doing the exact same thing and making good money with it? Why would we pass them along after 4 years, after 5 years, whatever?
College football, they're just like, hey, we're upping the eligibility limit. You can just play 10 years. People are in law school at schools just still playing college football.
That's what I was saying, right? That's what they would do. They would just be like, yeah, go get your master's. And then if you're spinning it, if you're marketing it, how could anybody ever critique? They're like, yeah, we want our players to get doctorates. Go 7 years. You know? Like, who's going to say, no, these players don't need doctorates? No, you're making these people better, you know? Because, and I know people are going to say, well, you're forgetting about volleyball. You're forgetting about softball. You're forgetting about baseball. You're forgetting about all these other sports.
You know who else forgot about them? You, who's making that argument. You don't support those sports. Stop it.
There might be a few minority who truly do, and I believe it. There are because I get it all the time from Vandy fans when I don't mention Vandy bowling as national champions. I hear it all the time from them, and I understand that is something to hang your hat on. But in the real world, the things that get attention, it's just going to be college football. And what's going to happen is eventually, because you know we've kind of forgotten about one side of everything that's happening just because of NIL, it's the fact that the SEC is trying to take over college football. Like that whole, remember, I mean, right before NIL started, it was like, well, everybody's just going to the SEC. Soon there will be no NCAA football. It'll just be SEC football. That could still happen as well, that the SEC finds a way to, if you're playing here, there's team dues, or not team dues, but player dues or something, league dues for these players that are getting paid, that they go in from these collectives, or I don't know.
There's going to be a college football player union also. It's going
to
happen.
It has to happen.
It has to happen, or else people are going to get screwed.
Well, and you know, Deion Sanders came out. I forget what it was he was talking about, but he, and you mentioned it, where he's saying there's no real proof of these guys fulfilling their advertising duties, you know, because that's the NIL side of it, is they're just getting money right now. We're not seeing this kid on a car dealership commercial or whatever it is that they're getting money through. And I don't even know if that matters all that much. If somebody wants to pay this guy, like, what's the difference if it's boosters paying to a collective, then paying to the kids through a nonprofit, as compared to if they're just getting the money from, you know, one of these major companies that they could be shuffling the money through there as well.
It's almost as if the United States has the most lucrative financial systems in the world for those that really, that are at the financial one, top 1%. If you guys think that this is cheating, let me tell you what billionaires do with their tax dollars. And it's not illegal what they do.
Oh, and by the way, the collectives, they're nonprofits. So you know what happens there? These gigantic corporations that are spending the millions of dollars to give to these collectives that then pay out to the players are getting tax incentives.
They're getting tax incentives. And sadly, I can't wait for the first player to get $80 million, spend it all, and be $30 million in the hole with the IRS. That's going to be hilarious to watch.
Well, and that's why you appreciate, like, what are the schools that are doing? It's Vanderbilt. I'm forgetting already what schools it is. But NBC is working with Vanderbilt and two other schools right now that they can basically, they're becoming middlemen of, NBC is going to become middlemen for these, for all these players, that they can go directly to NBC, say, hey, here's this many sponsorships that are available for your tier level or something like that. I don't know how they're going to exactly break it out, but they're also giving them their, you know, it's a way of saying, like, here's a way to do it properly that you're not going to get screwed. Here's a way to manage your money that you're not going to go broke and things like that. Some of these just feel like Ohio State. They're just like, yeah, here you go. here's a bunch of money. Go, you know, go buy a boat. I don't care. Here's, go get a line of credit because you're good for it right now, which is not smart.
But they'll do it. Did you know that? You know, you ever wonder how these number one draft picks pay for those suits? They open up lines of credit.
Mm-hmm.
Or their agent. Their agent gives them about $12 million up front and just like, I'll just take it out of your pay. That's how they do it. It's absurd.
Yeah.
People are like, what about the kids? The kids are in the, these dudes are in the NFL at 20 years old.
Oh, yeah.
They're, this, nothing.
Well, and that's the thing that kills me more about the NIL stuff. And I think the real answer for people that oppose this right now, outside of the coaches, because I think the coaches are just opposing it for, it takes away the skill gap advantage. Like, you could be Saban, right? Saban is like, look, you know, he's banging the ring on the table and he's like, I can get you a national championship. Well, that goes out the door now, because it's like the UFC's problem right now. Nobody cares about the belts. You know what they care about? Conor McGregor, come fight me, because it's just the most money, right? Like, that's just what it is. So nobody, no kid's going to be joining, you know, a team because they're like, I'm going to win for tradition and I'm going to win a national champ. They're going to be like, no, can you pay me $8 million this year, or I'm going to another school?
I just can't believe there are people out there that believe that. I mean, you're just lost. You're a lost soul.
And I understand the coach's complaints on that, because it that is annoying, but it's adapt or die in my eyes. Like, you just got to figure it out. But I think a lot of it is just direct jealousy of people that are, they're seeing these 18-year-old kids, 17-year-old kids, whatever, making millions and millions of dollars for playing a children's game. And it's, I would say it's definitely unearned, but it's what the system has created for them to earn that money.
Then it's not unearned.
True.
It's always been earned.
And the thing,
that's always been our value.
Yeah.
It's always been this way. It was just highly unethical,
yeah.
Which is why the Supreme Court of the United States of America stepped in after a week of announcing they're stepping in to investigate. These courts are extremely careful, and they take forever for some decisions.
Yeah.
When it came to NIL, it took a week, and they were like, oh, this is terrible. The NCAA, because the NCAA still has autonomy over its decisions. You know who opened up the floodgates? The NCAA. They were that worried that the hammer was about to come down. Like, jail time, perhaps.
Yeah. There was something that scared them. They got scared into this very quickly. But I mean, and you look at the NFL compared to college. What are we talking about? 3 years?
Yeah.
3 years different age-wise to these kids that – because, I mean, I've heard it too. It's like college football is a proving ground for success in the NFL. And it's like, yeah, that's what it was. It's not going to be that anymore.
It's a competitor.
Yeah, it's a competitor. It's 100 – this is Walmart and Target now, right? I mean, this is these guys are competitors now. We're seeing the same – you think Patrick Mahomes – if he was a sophomore right now, in 3 years, the amount of money that he could be making is he's going to leave for the NFL? No.
They have salary caps. You know who doesn't? College football.
And that's the crazy thing. Literally, you can make more money in college football right now than you can in the NFL.
Technically, yes. That's true.
You can make more money than, I mean, it's baseball. You know, it's baseball. There's no cap. You just make as much as you want. There you go. Spend as much as you want. It is insane. It is insane. And I don't know how you fix that because, once again, this is all
you
comes
don't.
Back.
You eventually become Barcelona, and then you owe Messi $3 billion, and you're like, oh, we're Barcelona. We're the most expensive sports team in the world, and we're declaring bankruptcy.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, it's the best part is, like, when you saw, like, the Barstool athletes, they just – kids were like,
dude,
jumping.
Kids had no idea what their worth was, and they signed it away for T-shirts. It was awesome.
And they still, I mean, they're signed away. Like, yeah. God forbid any of those kids actually turn up to be, like, the next Trevor Lawrence or something.
I love it.
And Barstool's like, yeah, we own your NIL, man. You gave it to us for, you know, we just tagged you on Twitter one time.
I love it. Those kids are going to learn a hard lesson very early.
Oh, man, this stuff is so insane right now. It's so insane. And the fact that we're a year into this. Not even. We're a year into this, and there is so much to grow out of this. There's so much to come. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. All right, if you want to jump on the show, 615-844-5600. We want to hear from you. We need to run to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Vandy boys getting a little beat up against LSU. That was unfortunate. And anything else you want to jump in, once again, 615-844-5600 here on the Afternoon Stretch.
Hey guys, it's Zach from the Afternoon Stretch. One of the things I love about betting my favorite sports is that I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine prop bets from multiple games and now even multiple sports. It's called Same Game Parlay Plus, and you can only find them on FanDuel. Combine your favorite baseball home run hitters for a chance to score an even bigger payout. If you don't want to build your own Same Game Parlay, check out their popular Same Game Parlay section where you can join the bets other users are jumping on. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code TAS to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Make every moment more and download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use promo code TAS so they know that we sent you. 21 up and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call TN Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it'd be too difficult or take too much time? Then try Babbel. Whether you want to learn Spanish for future travel plans, French to connect with extended family, or maybe German to land a new job, Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday, practical conversations that you'll actually use. All you need is 15 minutes a day, and you'll be on your way to confidently speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel is designed by real language experts using a modern, conversation-based technique that makes learning fun, engaging, and best of all, memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then sentences gradually get more complex. Soon you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. And with 14 languages to choose from and lesson topics like travel, business, relationships, and more, you'll be sure to learn what matters most to you. Babbel, language for life. Learn a new language with ease. Go to babbel.com to try for free. That's babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Summer is here, so let's kickstart it together at Lowe's. Shop our Memorial Day savings, where you'll find everything you need under the sun. Protect your soil with a bag of our premium color mulch at a new low price of $2.98. Keep your yard in summer shape and save $20 with your choice of Craftsman blower or trimmer. Was $119, now just $99. The savings are heating up this Memorial Day at Lowe's. Home to any budget, home to any possibility. Valid 519 through 525. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Nashville Sports Radio is hitting
the road.
Join the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show the first Friday of every month as they broadcast live from Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Check out the WNSR calendar for the dates and be there as Nashville Sports Radio hits the road the first Friday of every month.
Come be part of the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show live from Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel.
The Greg Pogue and John Burton Show live from Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. On the air and everywhere with Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. The afternoon stretch. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams here in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. Change it up a little bit here. Keep it with college athletics. Vandy boys had a tough one against LSU. It just seems like it keeps happening that way. There's certain ones, which, I mean, they obviously had the Arkansas series. They end up winning that one. And, it felt like they were getting hot at the right time. But to lose to LSU once, all three obviously getting swept, 13-2, 8-3, and then 21-10 in that Saturday contest. That's a tough road right there to end it. Let me put it to you, because obviously you didn't play baseball, Bruno.
Nope.
But you played football. What is that like to get close? Because y'all went bowling twice. Was it twice that you went bowling?
Twice.
Near the end of your season, you would beat Tennessee.
And Ole Miss. Both the times we went bowling, we were 4-6. And then we ended up winning the last two games to go 6-6 to go bowling.
What is that? You have that kind of mentality of winning. What's the opposite of that? Like going into the playoffs, extra playoffs for, bowling and all that for y'all. Did that give you like more confidence of winning and like you're on a streak that now you're going to play?
Oh yeah. We thought we were kings of the world.
Yeah.
All these things are games of momentum. You have good streaks and you have bad streaks. It's just like when you play in a football game or a baseball game. When you have the momentum, you can do anything. Basketball, it's a game of momentum. You have runs. Like when the Grizz went down like 27 points and then had their run and then they came back and won, right? Like mm-hmm. It's all sports are the same. All seasons are the same. Momentum's huge. Vandy boys kind of don't have it right now. They lost it at that point.
Well, it'd be one thing if these were like close contests against LSU.
Yes.
And you lose. 21-10 on a Saturday is just like giving up, it seems like. And obviously you have 11 runs that go out through that eighth inning. It's not going to be tough. I'm not going to sit here and try to critique Tim Corbin, because I think a moron would do that. I think somebody stupid would come on a mic and go, you know what Tim Corbin should do?
I think we both have to respect the radio guyness of that would take.
Look, we love stirring the pot. That's just stupid. Because I've already seen some stuff, other people saying that, whatever.
I think Tim Corbin should have faced the music just like everybody else. I don't think that's an unpopular opinion to have. But when you go to, this is what I would do if I was Tim Corbin. Yeah. you're no better than a fan to me. That's my mentality.
And you're not, hey, spoiler alert, you're not Tim Corbin. You know why? Because there's like, Saban could talk about what I would do if I was Tim Corbin. Because he's done it.
Or the Tennessee coach, because that'd be awesome. Trash talk is awesome.
I'm telling you, if you want to piss off a Vandy fan, the one thing to say is just, yeah, Vitello and Corbin just have a lot in common. There could not be two completely polar opposite beings in the same field. Vitello, he's out there bumping the officials. He's out there screaming all the time. He's trying to hype his guys up. I think he's a bit of a baby that when something happens to him, he goes and cries about it. But, he's out there. He's dishing it, but he can't take it. Corbin, very subdued. When he gets pissed off when those and the reporter asks him.
He's a Sigma male.
You think so?
No.
I don't think so.
Was just funny just when he loses, he's just like, I'm just not going to talk to anybody.
Well, some reporter will ask him some idiot question. Why do you think you lost? They scored more runs than us.
Yeah.
That's the kind of response you're going to get.
When they pitch the ball. we missed it. But we when we pitched the ball, they hit it. And then when you run around the bases and get to home plate, that counts as a point. And then when you get those points and you get more than the other team, that team wins the game.
Yeah, you're gonna get those, which are, first off, they're gold. Yeah. Those are gold answers.
I don't think dumb questions are a bad thing. I really don't. I think it's an opportunity.
Well, I think dumb questions on purpose are a dumb thing. Like, you know what some of these reporters, we sit in the rooms with them.
Oh, yeah, the click. Yeah, they're
they just, they can't wait to ask some asinine question about that's an obvious answer just to get the sound bite. And I think, you know, maybe I'm judging a little bit off of, you know, I guess recency bias, but I feel like people are more adept now, and players and coaches, like, they're not, especially somebody like Corbin who's been around the block a while. He's not going to sit there and be like, oh, let me fall in line with this stupid question. Now, I think there's people that do ask dumb questions and it's accidental. You know, it's accidental. They don't mean to sound stupid or ask a dumb question, but
it's pretty rare in the case of Vandy, though, because there's like, what, six reporters that cover Vandy, because Vandy's Vandy, even though it's, you know, one of the top baseball programs. There's like, what, 12 people on that call, maybe at most. So it's the same people.
It's the same people over and over again. Oh, man. But so let me ask now, going back to what I was talking about with, you know, y'all winning in football, obviously going into those, what's the feeling of the opposite of that? Like losing before you go in? Because tomorrow, our show is going to be off the air because Ole Miss, they're going to be down there where you were. They're going to be in Hoover tomorrow. I know, you were just there. They'll be down in Hoover taking on Ole Miss, 4:30 first pitch. That means 4:15 they're going to be live.
No show, baby. Birthday present to me. Let's go.
Wait, is your birthday tomorrow?
Yeah, 26.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I knew it was in May, but I
just remembered.
You're going to be 26?
I just kept thinking last week. I was like, next Tuesday, that'll be a mental bump to get me through the season. And then my season ended, and I just didn't think about it until this very moment. I was like, oh, yeah, it's Tuesday.
Happy birthday. You come back for one show, and you already have a day off.
Dude, I want my career to be like this forever.
So anyway, go into that mindset, like as a player.
Hey, there was that season we were 3-0 and then lost to Alabama 60-0. It's kind of that same thing. And then our entire season was ruined afterwards because it's a game of momentum. And when you get beat down like that, you don't have momentum for the next week. And until you answer, it's not going to get better. We need to see Vandy boys answer quick.
Yeah.
Simply it.
I mean, it's got to be against Ole Miss, obviously, which, you know, not a direct rival of baseball programs, but definitely a direct rival of schools. This is something everybody, it feels weird because we have been so, I say we is just the general public, also, you know, talking about sports talk hosts, things like that, about Vanderbilt. You're just like, yeah, they're just going to succeed. You know, they're going to be in Omaha. They're going to be, you know, competing every year for a national champion, because that's just been the recency of Vandy baseball that I feel like fans are kind of like a little shell-shocked right now.
Yeah, they're losing it. Well, it's also you're losing the one thing you have left, you know. It's like when your daughter's graduating, but you were like, you know, it's your only kid, and you're just like, you've been married for 20 years, so, you know, you can't talk to your wife. You talked about everything there is to talk about three times over. So your daughter's graduating, you know, your job's like, eh, and the one thing that was kind of giving you motivation is going away. That hit home to somebody.
Somebody's just like looking in a mirror, just.
That's what it feels like to these guys, you know, to the fans.
Well, you know, it's actually
Vandy fans in particular. It's the one thing they have is baseball, and it's kind of, you kind of see it teetering.
Now they're going to be like, "Well, we still have bowling."
No one's going to say that.
No, they will, because I hear it all the time. My DMs will get flooded with, "Yeah, we, you know, bowling. We, you didn't think about that." I get that all the time. I get it all the time. I mean, obviously, we want Vanderbilt to succeed. We want them to win. We want them to move far in their season and bring home a national championship. I say that all the time. It's better for everything about our jobs when the teams around us win. When they win, we can sit there and talk. People care about it more. People get involved. You know, it's just better. It gives you more content than, oh, they suck again, you know. Can I try to spin it, though? Can I spin what's going on with Vandy baseball?
We're radio people.
Hey,
spin away.
This is a pro tip for anybody trying to get in the business. Think like this. For all these years that Vandy baseball have been so dominant and so good, it seems like they've been stealing the juice from every other sport. Now that Vandy baseball is kind of coming back a little bit, that means football and basketball are about to start taking a big jump forward, right? Yes. Yeah, they were bad during the times Vandy baseball was good.
You would hope. Hey, football's going to have a lot to go before it, you know, takes the jump ahead.
If you're, you know, Vandy fans pretty well. You tend to be in their mind. Would they trade an SEC championship for one year of 10 years of national championships with Vandy baseball?
We would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah?
I think so.
Yeah. I think they would, too.
I mean, that's a blood sacrifice. I mean, that's a soul sacrifice. That's a soul sacrifice right there. But I think we do it.
An SEC
Call in and tell me if you disagree. Maybe the older crowd does. But I know. I know I would. I know what I would do. I'd sacrifice all of you.
I'll burn everything down just for this. I mean, it does feel like, I would think, because now people have such a love for Vandy boys. I mean, look, they have their own, you know, they have their own moniker, Vandy boys. You know, you don't have that with anything else Vandy related. But it does feel like that because of such a football town, Vandy, the following would completely forget about baseball very quickly if Clark Lea just this next season they have, you know, 8 wins and or 9 wins and they're in the hunt for winning the East.
I'd say the baseball it's not like Vandy baseball is that lucrative attendance wise. If football took that next step, the same people would go to the Hawk. It's really not that deep. It's kind of media that I feel like media just piggybacks off Vanderbilt and their success, but really there's not a lot to. It's just because the sports world is so slow in the summer. Like those Barstool guys that were with Mississippi State at Omaha during the last national championship, and they're like trying so hard to bash Vandy, but there's no ratings to it because it's like already 300 people that care about Vandy baseball. You know, I feel like it's one of the outlier dynasties. Those people are going to die with Vandy baseball.
Yeah. No, for sure. I think you just pissed off a lot of people saying only like 300 people care about it, though.
3,000.
Yeah, 3,000 is probably fair.
I've been to the Hawk. Sometimes there's only 300 people there.
For sure. I mean, I people got, you know, started roasting me on Twitter a few years ago, right before COVID, right after their national championship win in 2020, their season starts, their first official game at the Hawk.
There's no one there.
There was like nobody there. And I'm like,
those are my favorite games, by the way.
These guys won national championship. And I when I say there was nobody there, crowd-wise and also media-wise, like they don't have a huge press box over there at the Hawk. Like it's not like there's, you know, there's just rows and rows of seats.
Man, it's baseball.
And they had empty seats over there.
It's college baseball. That's just something you got
to live. It's February and it's cold outside. Nobody wants to go to a baseball game. It's like, no, if you supported it, if you cared about it, you would.
People go to Buffalo Bill and Kansas City Chiefs games. I don't know if you've been to those things. Well, it's like the opposite of hell. It's a frozen hell. What would that be? I mean,
I don't know. It's not good.
It's definitely not good.
It's not something fun.
I mean, played in Missouri when it's cold. No, I don't want to ever do it again. But fans go out there. So that's not an excuse.
Yeah, I wonder, though. I wonder how Vandy fans – would Vandy fans completely turn away their allegiance? I guess not turn away allegiance. Like, they would still go – they would still care about Vandy baseball. But would they give up a successful Vandy season for the next couple of years for just one successful football season? And by successful, I mean actually SEC championship or
– Don't ask me. You know my answer.
Yeah,
I'd take you all out.
That's a true Vandy football guy right there.
It wouldn't cross a second thought in my mind.
Yeah.
I would Dano snap us all.
See, a Vandy fan should be appreciative of that.
Maybe.
That you would make
if
that
they
sacrifice.
The snap. Oh, the strongest wills. It's what it requires. Hardest decisions require them.
What's the other one? I can't remember what else he says in the second movie.
Something edgy.
Yeah, it's something so deep in Josh Brolin. Like, all right, we need to run to a break. If you want to jump in, 615-844-5600. Real quick, if you didn't also hear that, tomorrow Vandy boys are going to supplant our show, so we will not be on the air tomorrow. Down in Hoover, everything will be going on against Ole Miss. 4:30 first pitch. 4:15, I believe, will be the on-air time. But stick to all of our social medias, Nash Sports Radio, across everything, so that way you can hear that. One of the things I love about betting my favorite sports is that I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine prop bets from multiple games and now even multiple sports. It's called Same Game Parlay Plus. And you can only find them on FanDuel. Combine NBA playoff player props you love with your favorite baseball home run hitters for a chance to score an even bigger payout. I love doing the same game parlays. It is so simple. It makes it so much... the way they do it, just the UI of it, is how I actually... That's my favorite part. You can build these so quickly. And now, I mean, they've made it even easier with how you can go from different sports and put it in. It really is. It's super fun. If you don't want to build your own same game parlay, check out their popular same game parlay section where you can join the bets other users are jumping on. That makes it so much easier. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code TAS, the afternoon stretch, TAS, to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Make every moment more and download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use promo code TAS so they know that we sent you over. Of course, in Tennessee, you got to be 21 and up and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call TN Redline 1-800-889-9789.
If you want to spend quality time outdoors with your family, coworkers, employees, or friends, nothing beats a guided fishing trip. Since 2004, Brian Carper's Guide Service has offered trips on Percy Priest, Old Hickory, and Center Hill Lakes and is the top-rated guide service in Middle Tennessee. Brian Carper's Guide Service offers bass boat and pontoon trips for all sizes with 4, 6, and 8-hour trips available for bass, crappie, and hybrids. All equipment plus water and snacks are provided, and they'll even clean your catch for free. Check out Brian Carper's Facebook page or call 615-801-2408. That's 615-801-2408. And online at briancarper.com.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. 312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Throughout this afternoon, a slight chance of some scattered showers. Otherwise cloudy and temperatures low 70s. Mostly cloudy skies for the overnight. Lows drop to the upper 50s. And on Tuesday, mostly sunny. Slight chance of showers in the afternoon. High of 85. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner. Sports Radio
back the afternoon stretch. Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky, Zach Williams here in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. Bruno's first day back. How's it been so far? Feel good?
I'm a little dead inside without the sport I love, but I'm just kidding.
Do you like it or not? Are you going to invest or not?
Well, it's weird because I do love it, but the day I left, it was a huge relief. So what does that mean? Yeah. I don't know. That's the questions for a therapist that I'll never get.
Well, yeah, your therapist is called National Sports Radio. The real thing is in a year, less than a year's time, the USFL will be ramping back up and you're going to be like, oh, yeah, they hit me up.
I don't think so. I told Zach.
Nah, I don't believe you.
I have notes in my phone that's like, remember how it feels. Try and remember how it feels before you make your next.
You'll see all those zeros. They're going to be like, you see those zeros? We're going to triple it.
That would be insane. Triple.
We're going. It'd be cool, though, if you're like actually in Tampa, because that's their plan, obviously, is to eventually, you know, start siphoning out the teams back to wherever cities they're representing. That'd be awesome. Then you really would be in close proximity to Tom Brady, which would be really cool. And really the end goal of all this stuff. So over the weekend, I don't know if everybody paid attention to this. The story's been kind of going around since this weekend, but it just got a little bit more juicier. Josh Donaldson, who plays for the New York Yankees, so already hate him. But outside of that, I want to get, see, Bruno is, this is one of these weird areas where I can talk to Bruno about baseball, and he truly is non-biased at all to any of this because he doesn't like the game of baseball, and he can look at it from a unbiased point of view of how it is. So I know he hadn't seen the story, so I wanted to get into it. Josh Donaldson made a comment to Tim Anderson, who's a shortstop for the White Sox. Little backstory on this. Tim Anderson at one time called himself the modern day Jackie Robinson. You know who Jackie Robinson is. Everybody should know who Jackie Robinson is. Broke the color barrier for the game of baseball, essentially just sports in general. And for then on, I mean, he has a day in baseball where everybody wears his number. His number's retired on every single team. Nobody can wear 42 outside of Jackie Robinson Day. So obviously very influential person in the game of baseball and a huge, just landmark for the game of baseball and just civil rights as a whole. Well, Tim Anderson, who is taking that moniker on, or I'm not really quite sure. Over the weekend, the White Sox and Yankees played each other. In the first inning, Donaldson called Anderson Jackie. He said something along the lines like, have a good game, Jackie, or something like that, which is what Tim Anderson was calling himself. But Tim Anderson took this as a racist comment that coming after the game saying that it was disrespectful and unnecessary. Then this was doubled down on by Tony La Russa, who said flat out this comment was quote unquote racist. That this was a racist quote because Tim Anderson, who was a black man, was being referred to as Jackie, who was a black man, by basically painting the picture that Josh Donaldson is a racist for this comment. And also the MLB has suspended Josh Donaldson for one game right now, but and an undisclosed amount of money, which Donaldson is appealing and won't be able to play until his appeal is up, and then he can serve the one game or whatever happens with his appeal, obviously. So when you hear that story with the context around it, what do you think?
These are my favorite. You know, I feel like most people get uncomfortable having this conversation, but as someone who clearly just still doesn't know how to identify himself, I love these conversations. Because if you see my dad, I'm white.
Oh, man.
If you see my mom and my grandma,
I'm not white.
So this is always so fun to me to tread these waters. Zach, shut up and let me talk, all right?
Go for it.
My first issue is with the MLB. Either you take the stance this was racist or not with your original thing. You suspend the guy for one game. If the MLB truly did register this as racist, when the MLB suspends you for one game, to me it says, it wasn't even that big of a deal. Like, if the MLB from their point of view is like, that was a racist remark, should have been a lot more.
Yeah, what if he used a real racial slur?
I mean, it should have.
And he
should
gets one game.
You should be suspended. If you use a racial slur, you should be suspended indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know. That would be up to people smarter than me to determine how long you're quote-unquote out. You probably have to apologize and go do some trainings. But to just say it was to just do it for one game, it just shows they have no idea how to respond. And the collective brains of the social media wormhole. I like to picture social media as a vortex, and it's just the human collective. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That's how I view it. And right now people are split down the middle. This was either extremely racist or it wasn't. I'm leaning on the side of it wasn't that much. It probably wasn't intended to be racist. There's a lot of trash talk that goes on fields. A lot. And I hardly ever notice anything racist at all. And there's people coming after families. And it's tough. Like, especially, go watch a USFL game and just listen. It's bad sometimes. You can listen to what people were saying, especially in those early games before they started cutting our mics. It was getting bad out there. This seems like child's play compared to what was going on out there. Mm. Personally, to me, off the surface and reading the story, not being there, it seems a little overdone. The problem is, though, he called himself Jackie 3 years ago. So however long it was.
I'm not sure the exact timeline on that.
So has he been holding on to this joke for 3 years? The only person that knows the intent of the trash talk, quote unquote, is Donaldson himself. That's the only person who can, if he can go to bed and say, I didn't mean to be racist. That's between him and him. The MLB, I think, the MLB is the party, I think, that screwed up the most here. If you believe he was racist, stand your ground and give him a real suspension. But suspending him for one game kind of makes it seem like, oh, you said something racist, but here's a literal flick on the forehead.
You bring up a good that's a good point. I didn't think about that because
that's what I do.
Yeah, every once in a while, right? That broke clock. It gets it right twice.
That's the first thing that popped up in my mind. It's like the MLB is, they're coming out as it's racist.
Yeah.
Why one game? Do more.
Yeah,
no one knows more than the MLB. They get all the sides of the stories, I'm sure, before they make a decision. I'm inclined to trust them. If it was a big issue, why is it only one game?
Well, it feels like the MLB...
It feels like they're trying to play safe.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. It seems like the MLB is like, look, we got to do something. we can't... Even whether it's true or not or whatever his insult was, we need to make sure we, CYA. It's time to cover our butts here, all right? That's all we need to care about. So I feel like there's a large assumption that one game is just like, look, we're just doing this. And who knows what the undisclosed amount of money. It was clearly enough for Donaldson to appeal it. But the MLB just needed a way to be like, look, we punished them. What do you want us to do? And I mean, I don't think, Donaldson is a trash talker. He's been that way for a while. And the White Sox and Donaldson don't get along. They never have. There was after the baseball instituted the whole foreign substance and everything when they put on, Donaldson hit a home run and yelled at the pitcher of White Sox. I forget what the pitcher's name was, but he yelled at the pitcher. He said, yeah, your hands aren't sticky anymore, are they? Imagine that. After that whole rule comes out and then he blasts a home run, that's what he says because he knows that was giving those pitchers an advantage. So they just don't like each other. And I feel like that's more or less what it is from the White Sox side. Is they just hate Donaldson, and they're like, look, it's, I don't know.
If my stance offends you, I personally don't think it was that big of a deal.
I don't think so either. And I'm white.
And I don't know what I am, but I might be. So that's one and a half, two of us.
Just start throwing out Spanish words, and I think you're probably fine.
I would if I knew them.
Darn it.
I'm just here.
Oh man. It's a weird world where I feel like leagues just feel like they have to instantly, if there's any kind of racial question at all of like, are these remarks racist? They have to just instantly, and it's not even leagues. I mean, this is just companies. This is all around where it's so hypersensitive right now. And I think there's reason for it to be because clearly there's some stuff out there. But you go back to the Bubba Wallace stuff, right, with NASCAR, where they thought it was a noose and it wasn't a noose. It was just like a rope pulled down to get the garage down. But he saw it as a noose. And then, we had this gigantic search to find out who made this noose for, this guy. And it turns out this was done way before they ever knew he was going to be there. It was done in other garage, but the instant reaction is this is a racial hate crime and we need to figure it out. I feel like the pendulum has swung so far one way. It's just like, is the pendulum ever going to come back to like middle? Not to any one way, but I
personally didn't have an issue with the trash talk. If the MLB wants to take a stance, I mean, they took the most fascinating stance possible. And it's frankly, oh, wow, the MLB is screwing something up. What's new?
Real quick, give you your Press and Line Law Group update on the Atlanta Braves. They're 19-22, currently second in the NL East. They'll be taking on the Phillies at home at 6:05 here on this very station right before we are done. Go check out KleinPressonLaw.com. Be your sponsor for the Atlanta Braves all season long. We appreciate the good folks over there for getting that for us. And it, hey, you know, the Braves right now, they're second in the NL East. They're moving right now. They're trying to keep it up, but they're trying to get back to 500. We'll see if they can. Once again, like I said earlier, we will not have a show tomorrow. We'll be back on Wednesday, barring anything going on with Vandy baseball taking on Ole Miss. 4:30 first pitch, 4:15 broadcast time. Appreciate everybody joining in today, calling in, commenting in, however you did. We appreciate it so much. So glad to have our boy Bruno back in the driver's seat with us here on the show. Remember, if nobody's told you, I love you and you matter. You do. You do. You do. We will see you guys Wednesday here on Nashville Sports Radio.